in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. First round tennis action began Monday at the U.S. Open in New York. The hard court tournament is usually the last of the four majors on the calendar. But in this pandemic year of 2020, it's the second after the Australian Open. Wimbledon was canceled this year because of the COVID-19 crisis, and the French Open was pushed back to September 21st to October 11th. The defending U.S. Open singles champions, Rafael Nadal on the men's side and Bianca Andreescu on the women's side, decided not to play in New York. Both players cited the coronavirus pandemic in their explanations for withdrawing. Former U.S. Open champions Serena Williams and Andy Murray both played their opening matches on Tuesday in New York. Serena is matched against American countrywoman Christy An, while Murray will play Japan's Yoshihito Nishioka. Serena has won six of her 23 Grand Slam singles titles at the U.S. Open, with her last U.S. Open trophy in 2014. At 38, Serena says she still has her eyes on equaling Margaret Court's 24 major titles.
I've been definitely proudly stuck here, party of one, so I'm pretty happy about it. But obviously, I'm never satisfied. That's been the story of my career. It is what it is. I took a year and a half off for a baby. I don't know. It's like I'll never be satisfied until I retire. I'm never going to stop until I retire. It's just my personality. That's how I got to be here.
Meanwhile, Andy Murray's only U.S. Open title came in 2012. The 33-year-old British player has missed two of the last three editions of the tournament as he struggled to cope with a career-threatening hip injury. During that time, Murray has undergone two operations, including hip resurfacing surgery in January 2019, which has allowed him to revive his tennis career. Andy Murray was asked if he believed he would play competitive tennis again at a Grand Slam tournament.
I mean, it would depend when you ask me that question. I mean, if you ask me like the day after I had the operation, I mean, I was in bits. I mean, I would have said no. And like the few weeks afterwards, like definitely, you know, I would have said not. But then with each week that passed and each month that passed, like, yeah, I started to believe. And then I was a bit pissed off. I wasn't allowed to play singles at Wimbledon that year, even though it was only a few months after I'd had the operation, because actually I was feeling good, like physically, in terms of like no pain. And then it was probably until I started playing, like I didn't really know until I started playing practice sets post Wimbledon. I beat a few guys in practice in Washington. I was playing some practice sets there, and then went to Canada and beat some good players in practice sets there. And I was like, okay, I think I'm going to be all right here. So yeah, it probably wasn't until I actually got back on the tour and played guys in singles that I actually really sort of believed it. Yeah, that was probably a good 4 or 5 months later. But certainly at the time, like pre-surgery and post-surgery, I didn't think I would be able to. But that's because I was told that I wouldn't, you know. It was like told, or like, you have this operation, like there's a good chance you're not going to be able to play like high level singles again. And I didn't have anyone else to look at, so I couldn't speak to anyone except really Bob Bryan about their experiences of it and things. So yeah, I was sort of going into the dark a little bit.
That's British tennis star Andy Murray speaking at the U.S. Open in New York. First round action began Monday. Murray will play his opening match on Tuesday because of the coronavirus pandemic. The match is at the USTA Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in New York, are being played without fans in attendance.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at some of the weekend European club football highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Arsenal beat Liverpool 5-4 on penalties to win the Community Shield after the game finished 1-1 on Saturday. Despite Liverpool enjoying 60% of the possession in the opening minutes, it was Arsenal who found the back of the net fast through Gabon international Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who celebrated his goal with the iconic Black Panther salute in honor of American actor Chadwick Boseman, who died from cancer on Friday. Japan's Takumi Minamino equalized with his first goal for Liverpool late in the second half of the annual preseason friendly between the Premier League champions and FA Cup winners, sending the team straight into penalties. In the shootout, Liverpool youngster Ryan Brewster was the only player to miss, hitting the bar with their third penalty after Aubameyang calmly dispatched the decisive spot kick. As if Arteta needed any reminding, it was another sign of the influence wielded by the 31-year-old Aubameyang, who's yet to commit his long-term future to the club as he enters the final year of his contract. The Gabon forward has kept Arsenal waiting nervously during protracted talks, and he raised doubts when asked in a post-match interview whether he was ready to sign the club's contract offer. For Liverpool, it was the second successive season they have lost the Community Shield on penalties after being beaten by Manchester City last season. La Liga has sided with Barcelona in saying that any club that wants to sign Lionel Messi away from Camp Nou this summer will have to trigger the $834 million release clause contained in the six-time Ballon d'Or winner's contract. Messi stunned the sports world last week by telling Barcelona that he wanted to leave after 16 seasons. The 33-year-old, who has led Barca to 10 Spanish titles and 4 UEFA Champions League crowns, en route to becoming arguably the best player of all time, contends that he can leave the club immediately on a free transfer by the terms of a clause in his deal. The clause expired in June after the 2019-2020 season was supposed to end, but Messi's representatives say it's still valid because the campaign was extended into August following a 3-month shutdown caused by the coronavirus pandemic. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Messi's desire to leave is rooted in problems on the pitch, especially failings in the Champions League since 2015 and off of it, where he has clashed with the board over a number of issues. Manchester City remain in pole position if he does leave, with reports indicating that the Premier League club would be willing to pay a fee of up to $178 million for the forward. Manchester United have reportedly agreed on a fee with Ajax Amsterdam for midfielder Donny van der Beek, although they're yet to discuss personal terms with the 23-year-old Netherlands international. after coming through the academy at Ajax. Van de Beek made 175 appearances for the Dutch Giants and played a key role in their run to the Champions League semi-finals in 2019. He has been capped 10 times by the Netherlands after making his debut in 2017. Ben Chilwell has also completed his transfer to Chelsea, signing from Leicester in a deal worth up to $67 million. The 23-year-old made 123 appearances for the Foxes in all competitions, 99 in the Premier League, and has also made 11 appearances for the senior national side. Tottenham Hotspur have also signed defender Matt Doherty from Premier League rivals Wolverhampton Wanderers for an undisclosed fee. The 28-year-old Republic of Ireland right-back who made over 300 appearances for Wolves after joining from League of Ireland side Bohemians in 2010 penned a four-year deal with Spurs. He became Spurs' third signing of the summer, following the arrival of Danish midfielder Pierre-Emile Højbjerg and goalkeeper Joe Hart. Doherty played in every Premier League game of Wolves' 2018-2019 campaign and helped Nuno Espirito Santo's side to back-to-back seventh-place finishes since promotion from the Championship. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Eugene, Oregon.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Timothy Weah, the 20-year-old son of Liberia's president, George Weah, made his comeback from injury Sunday for the French football club Lille. Timothy came on as a substitute in the 78th minute of a 1-0 win at Reims. The young striker signed a five-year contract with Lille last year, but Timothy missed most of his first season with Lille after suffering two hamstring injuries. At the international level, Timothy Weah has represented the United States on several youth national teams. He made his debut for the senior U.S. men's national soccer team in 2018, and scored his first international goal that year in a friendly match against Bolivia. Timothy Weah on the comeback trail at the tender age of 20. Elsewhere, Rivers United FC says it will go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport to protest the final league table released by the Nigeria Football Federation. According to the federation, Plateau United and Enyimba will represent Nigeria in the CAF Champions League, while Rivers United and Kano Pillars will represent the country in the CAF Confederation Cup. The federation used the point per game, or PPG, to decide the table due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which led to the suspension of the league. Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the Rivers State Commissioner for Sports and owner of Rivers United FC, Boma Iyaye.
Rivers United is not satisfied with the final position of the league table as provided by league management company and as ratified by the Nigerian Football Federation. The reason is simple. We believe that we have been victimized. We believe that this is not fairness. We believe that this is not sportsmanship. How can we come out second, place second after the 25 weeks of the league, and then you adjusted the league position with the PPG system and then decided that we should be placed third? Yes, we agree and we supported the PPG system because in the circumstance we find ourselves, it's the only way to end the football league for 2019-2020. But in doing that, there should be fairness. In doing that, there should be justice. You have already adjusted the league table by using the PPG system, and Enyimba has been brought forward from fifth position to second. How dare you now place them ahead of us, even when we are tied on points? That is our reason. By the articles of Nigerian Professional Football League, as provided by them, Article 29, in case of a tie, to unbreak that tie, the only way you can unbreak that tie is by using goals difference, goals against, goals conceded before head-to-head. But in the wisdom of the Nigerian Football Federation and the League Management Committee, they abandoned all these rules and decided to adopt head-to-head, which they know that will favor their co-travelers and their cohorts in Himba Football Club. We will not accept that injustice. We will not accept that victimization. We will proceed to the highest court of football. And then if we don't get justice there, we will know that, yes, probably that is the best decision they have taken. But we are very sure we will get justice at the end of the day. And we will pursue this matter to the logical conclusion.
Do you think going to the court for arbitration for sports is the best option?
Well, it might not be the best option, but as it stands, we cannot have justice in the court of the Nigerian Football Federation. We have appealed to the Minister of Sports to wade into this matter, and while waiting for the Minister of Sports to wade into this matter, the only available legal option for us is to approach the court of arbitration for sports. If we go there and we fail, we will come back happily, and because we have not allowed the interest of Rivers people to die. We will make sure that we pursue that interest to the logical conclusion. And that is why, because we believe that the court for arbitration for sports is the place to go to when it concerns issues of sports and football, that's why we're going there.
What other options are left for Rivers United if the court for arbitration for sports move didn't give the desired result?
We don't have any other option. We will accept it in good faith, but we will believe that we have followed the matter to a logical conclusion.
That's Boma Iyaye, the River State Commissioner for Sports. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sports greetings. My name is Boma Iyaye, River State Commissioner for Sports. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thanks for having me.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat Music Show. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news.
World football governing body FIFA informed the Namibia Football Association at the weekend that it does not support the existence of a second Namibia Premier League, which was formed by expelled NPL executive committee members and several clubs. Creators of the Parallel League are seeking recognition as a national sports body or league independent of the Namibia Football Association. However, FIFA noted that only the Namibia Football Association shall control and supervise all forms of football at the national level. And now to Uganda, where the Federation of Uganda Football Association has announced a bonus of $3,500 for the Uganda Under-17 girls team ahead of their crucial 2021 FIFA Under-17 Women World Cup playoff round qualifier against Cameroon in October. The financial support is expected to help players have effective personal training while waiting for the government to lift restrictions imposed on sports activities due to the health concerns caused by the coronavirus pandemic. The National Under-17 Women Team Head Coach Ayub Khalifan Kiigi has named a 35-strong team who will initially start with the individual training at home as FUFA lobbies government to allow the team to enter camp for residential training.
We are playing the giants of Africa in women football. Cameroon is one of the strongest teams that we know. And we make it, and we have it in our mind that if the senior team is performing better, we also expect the junior team to perform better.
Staying with East Africa, Football Kenya Federation National Executive Committee aspirants for the upcoming elections, as well as the presidential aspirants, will this Monday present their nomination papers to FKF's electoral board. The national elections have been slated for October 17th, while those at the country level being held on September 19th. In South Sudan, Juma Stephen Luga, president of the South Sudan National Olympic Committee, says funding by the central government is key in their preparations for the 2021 Olympic Games. In Japan, some athletes from South Sudan who couldn't train because of the conflict or a lack of facilities in South Sudan have continued their training despite the postponement of the Olympics, with all their costs financed by donations. donations from Japanese citizens. Back home in South Sudan, the president of the South Sudan National Olympic Committee, Juma Stevens, says there are yet to secure any financial commitment to fund their preparations for the Olympic Games. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association playoff action Sunday, the Boston Celtics, Los Angeles Clippers, and Denver Nuggets all scored victories in Orlando, Florida. The Nuggets got a big scoring game from guard Jamal Murray, as we hear now from the AP's Bruce Morton.
Jamal Murray sizzled with 50 points, lifting Denver to a 119-107 victory over the Jazz, sending the first round series to a seventh game. For Murray, it was his second 50-point game of the series and his third straight game with 40 or more.
It's not easy. That's why the greats are so good, because they don't do it just one night. They do it every night. And they play hard every night. And they bring that will to win every single night. And they will their teams to play harder.
His team down by 10 in the first quarter, Murray went 17 of 24 from the floor and 9 of 12 from beyond the arc. Donovan Mitchell topped Utah with 44. Game 7 is Tuesday. I'm Bruce Morton.
Thanks, Bruce. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Clippers advanced to the second round with a victory over the Dallas Mavericks. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Kawhi Leonard scored 33 points, and the Clippers eliminated the Mavericks from the playoffs with a 111-97 win in Game 6. L.A. took the lead midway through the second quarter and never gave it back. Leonard added 14 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 steals.
It's one step closer to, you know, where we want to get to. So, you know, it's a good accomplishment. You know, we got off the first round, and you know, now is, you know, we enjoy it tonight, and we get ready for the next team tomorrow.
Luka Doncic kept Dallas in the game with a 38-point performance. Playing in his first postseason, the young Mavs star averaged 31 a contest. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. And the Boston Celtics open their second round series against the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors with an impressive win. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Celtics have opened their second-round playoff series with a surprisingly easy victory against the defending champions, 112-94 over the Raptors. Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart each scored 21 points for the Celtics, who never trailed and improved to 4-1 versus Toronto this season. Brad Stevens' club is the only one to knock off the Raptors more than twice.
We just made timely baskets, you know, like the Tatum steal at the end of the half and then the Kemba three. Like, and then at the end of the third when they're coming back, Tatum makes that shot at the buzzer. Sometimes you just, you know, we were able to kind of keep separation that way.
Toronto has dropped its two meetings with Boston in the bubble by a combined 40 points. The Raptors, however, are 11-0 against everyone else. Kyle Lowry had a team-high 17 points for the Raptors. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The NBA playoffs continue later Monday night with two games in Florida. The Miami Heat will play the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 1 of their best-of-seven second-round series. And the Houston Rockets will meet the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 6 of their first-round series. The Rockets lead 3-2. And that wraps up the August 31st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
This is Science in a Minute.
One of the brightest stars in the sky is Betelgeuse. In October 2019, astronomers noticed that the star was decreasing in brightness. NASA says that by mid-February 2020, Betelgeuse had lost more than 66% of its brilliance. This unusual dimming set off talk in the scientific community that the red supergiant was getting ready to explode into a spectacular supernova. Scientists at the Space Telescope Science Institute and the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics recently observed Betelgeuse with the Hubble Space Telescope. They say the drop in the star's brilliance was probably due to it ejecting a vast amount of material into space, which then formed into a dust cloud that blocked light coming from its surface. The scientists suggest the dust cloud formed after the star released some super hot plasma. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Battery, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour. Whoa. Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews. Ooh. Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Ah. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America brings you music from Africa.
Hello, I am David Vandy. Join me on the African beat.
Join me, Matthew Lavoie, for Music Time in Africa.
And music for Africa.
What's up? It's your man, Rod Murray, representing VOA's Hip Hop Connection.
All 1 hour music shows, African Beat comes twice, Monday through Friday at 9 and 20 hours UTC. Music Time in Africa is broadcast twice Saturdays and Sundays, also at 9 and 20 hours UTC. Hip Hop Connection airs on Fridays at 21 hours UTC and again on Saturdays at 15 hours. A new show airs at 21 hours and again on Sundays at 15 hours. It's what you want on The Voice of America on radio and on the web at www.voaafrica.com.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from